Well, good evening. Thank you for having me. I extend my thanks to Reverend Tim for inviting me. But before I start, I just would like to say a personal note of thanks to John and the chapel choir. It's very exciting to see that the chapel choir has begun again and five strong and willing participants up there this evening. Well done, everyone. Well done. It's nice to see. Thank you. So when Reverend Tim asked me to speak, I had two immediate thoughts. The first was that my grampy, the Baptist minister, would be very proud to hear that I was speaking in chapel. And the second was total panic. What the heck would I talk about? See, I'm used to singing, to sharing my emotions and telling my story through the words and the music that others have created. I know how to do that. I've trained how to do that. That feels much more comfortable. This is very scary. So eventually I thought, I really only have one story that I'd like to tell. And so tonight I will speak about my personal story of September 11th, 2001. A day that for most people has significant meaning, but for Michael and myself, living in New York City at the time, was indeed life-changing. You have no doubt heard that September 11th, 2001 was a bright and clear and amazing September day, not unlike the days we've been having lately. What a beautiful fall morning, everyone remarked. The sunlight was bouncing off the windows. The city glistened and sparkled. It was truly that wonderful a fall day. We were excited for September 11th, as this was the day we had been waiting for 4 weeks. We had purchased our very first truckload of new furniture, and it was being delivered that morning. We had never owned anything ourselves before. This was a milestone, a real bedroom set, a real couch, love seat, and a real entertainment unit. We were so grown up. It was also a very important day for me. It was the very first day of classes that I started at the Juilliard School. Although I had lived in New York for 3 years already, it was going to be a new experience and an exciting change to be attending the Juilliard School of Music. So already, September 11th, 2001, pretty monumental for us. I was at home waiting for that furniture, watching Regis and Kelly, and getting ready for school. When the TV stopped showing Kelly's pretty face and immediately switched to the live happenings downtown, local New York broadcasters immediately on their toes in New York City. This was before it went national. Those live New York broadcasters didn't have any idea what they were supposed to do, but all of a sudden it was thrown to them. For Mike, the day appeared a bit different. He was on his way to work and had already left. He was at one of the furthest subway stops north of the island. This subway stop was above ground. And when he came up onto the street at 8:45 to catch his bus to his office, people were just starting to talk about the drama downtown. Once he made it to the office, he realized the profundity of the events. I became obsessed with the events on television and at the same time began frantically trying to reach out to my family. I knew that if these pictures were being broadcast, that we would have family and friends wondering about us. I was able to make only a few phone calls, and the phone lines were jammed for hours and eventually stopped working altogether. The difficulty for Mike was figuring out how to get back home. New York had shut down. No subways, no buses, no cabs, very few cars, and certainly no furniture wasn't making the trip across, as the buses, bridges, tunnels, everything was closed. In essence, if you were in the city, you were stuck, and if you were off the island, you weren't getting back on. Fortunately, Michael had friends who were able to drive him to the bridge at the tip of the island. He walked across it and made his way by walking, hitchhiking, and finding a cab or two that was actually still working, back to our sad little apartment. It wasn't until he walked in the door very, very late that evening that we both really became emotional. It was very good to be together again. For the next 3 days, we rarely left our apartment. And when we did, it was extremely difficult to be outside in our city. The neighborhood was in complete disarray. There were signs posted on every street corner with faces and names of those who were missing. Many of our neighbors worked the night shift as custodians. Many were first responders from our firehouse around the corner. These were people who never returned home, and they were from our community. The air was thick and heavy. Its smell was different, and the sadness was just as palpable. Our grocery store had been cleaned out. No water, no juice, no toilet paper. The necessities of life were scooped up quickly as bridges and tunnels remained closed for days. One day, after sitting in front of the TV for hours, Mike insisted that we go out. We headed to our little pub around the corner. All we heard when we got there were stories of sadness and loss. For us, there was no relief. We were just beginning to start to feel the effects of depression, and it was only 5 days in. Together, we decided to make a change in our life, create something positive and tangible. Together, we talked about how to move forward from this awful experience. Philippians 2, verse 3, which we just heard, says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." 9/11 altered my perspective. I had been successful, to some degree, while at Manhattan School doing my master's. However, I was pulled into the negative climate of a competitive music school. I remember sitting in the cafeteria with a group of singers, and as one singer would leave for class, the rest of the group would immediately start talking behind their back. Gossip and negativity was such a necessary part, and yet it was a perfect place for it. I remember feeling uncomfortable, wondering what they were saying about me when I left. But I also knew that in order to feel accepted, I should stay and chat right along with them. After 9/11, my priorities became clearer. We had many conversations about our future, our hopes and our dreams, Michael and I, of our realization of just how short time and life actually was. One of the things that changed the most dramatically for me was when I started at Juilliard, I thought of going to school as going to work. Might not seem like a big shift, but for me, those distinctions were important. I went to the Juilliard School. I excelled. I was inspired. I took immense pleasure out of working hard and finding my way. But I didn't feel like I had to engage in the negative dialogue that can permeate a competitive music school. For the first year of my time there, many of my colleagues called me the mystery girl, as I would come to class and work hard, practice, and then go home. I didn't have a lot of friends, but the ones I chose were authentic and genuine. For me, it was a lot better than hanging out with people who weren't truly my friends anyway. Philippians 2, verse 2 says, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind." And of one mind, excuse me. I had let a few significant friendships dwindle over those years. It wasn't anyone's fault. There was certainly no drama. But time and distance had made keeping in touch with these important people more difficult. During the month after 9/11, I made a point to reach out to these particular people with whom I had a deep and lasting relationship, and with whom geography and the busyness of life had let us drift apart. I have since been buoyed by the joy and strength that these amazing people have given to me. These are the people that I wanted to be spending my energy on, not those with negative energy that sapped my spirit and my strength. Recognizing this difference has been one of the most powerful lessons that 9/11 taught me. New York City also has many stories to share. One day, while riding the subway in early October of that year, a man in construction gear got on. It was early morning, but somehow our subway car was not full. I don't know how that's possible. He sat looking weary and tired. He closed his eyes. The woman next to him gently asked him if he was going to work on the pile. He said yes, and that he'd been there almost every day since they called for help in the middle of September. See, the city realized, once it was no longer a rescue effort, that it needed people with trade skills. So the request went out to engineers, construction, plumbing, woodworking, etc., anyone who would offer their time on the site. The hours of hard labor were taking its toll on the first responders, and quite often the skills that were needed required others to help. This young man, no more than 25, was exhausted, and yet there he was, going down again. There were tears in the eyes of the woman next to him. The subway car was quiet, and many whispered their thanks as they got off. It was a powerful and very un-New York-like moment. In fact, my entire experience on the subway shifted after September 11th. Philippians 2, verse 4, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. For months, those subways were quiet. They were calm, gentle, quiet. Did I mention quiet? It was unbelievable. People could be jammed in, and people would be respectful and caring and patient. Passengers helped one another, held the door, didn't shove, even offered their seats. There were signs of genuine kindness and courtesy everywhere. It remained like this until the middle of March. For almost 6 months, New Yorkers remembered how important it was to treat those around you with respect and kindness. It was a sad day for those of us who noticed when it changed back. I try and teach my students these lessons. Don't worry, there's not a test. I do view my responsibility to them as an opportunity to influence the whole person, not just their beautiful voices. In fact, it's my hope that they will never have to experience something as powerful and devastating as September 11th, to fully realize that finding comfort in the triumph of others and happiness in the arms of those who only want the best for you is actually finding success. While many others felt a far greater loss than Michael and I on September 11th, we definitely felt its impact. I have been resolute since that day in my efforts to surround myself with people who give as good as they get, who receive my love fully, and who send it back twofold, who lift me up and not drag me down, and who fill my life with the joy and love that I can feel and trust. Thank you, Tim, for the opportunity to tell my story and to share how I learned to find and live God's love. Thank you.